episode 12 of the Bob Culture Podcast. We are here with Jerry, we got Mark, we got Kevin, and we got Sean. You know them as Metal Life Crisis, the up-and-coming band. I just saw them at the Stone Pony. That place was packed. You guys just played Starland. So, guys, thanks for coming on, and welcome to the Bob Culture Podcast. Thanks for your time. How's everything going?
Good, man. Beautiful. Thanks for having us, brother.
No, of course. Thanks for coming on. So basically, obviously, I've known Jerry for a long time, working with him. I think Jerry plays every instrument in the world. So now I see him singing. He's doing a great job. Metal Life Crisis. Love the band name. As soon as I heard it, I'm like, you know, I remember Jerry telling me about it. And I'm like, this is the best band name. So tell me how that happened. This might be my favorite band name right now.
All right. Well, my wife went up to her cousin's house one day, and she was talking to her cousin about me forming this band of a bunch of old guys.
Okay.
And her boyfriend was standing there at the time, now husband, was talking about it and thinking of things. And he texted her on the way home and said, "So what, Sean going through his metal life crisis?"
Nice.
And she laughed, sent me a text, and I said, "Tell him I think he just named a band. I think it's honestly going to be the name of the band."
I love it, and it fits, obviously, the genre and you guys. Do you guys love it as much as I do?
I love it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's growing on me. I never like names. So.
Okay,
never,
yeah, ever. I think you told me that before. Yeah.
Never, ever.
It's a good one, though. I like it. And how about, you know, I always ask everyone, did a meteor hit the Earth and your band was formed? But what's the origin story of Metal Life Crisis? Was there a toxic waste truck that spilled on you guys and you formed this super band? What happened?
Huh.
Who started? Where did it all begin?
I started writing a couple, just parts.
On guitar.
Okay. Right. And I was talking to Kevin one day, and I said, "Look, man," I said, "why don't we get together and just jam? Have some fun." He was playing in another band. And we started jamming. We started writing. We kept writing. And I was like, we need to get somebody on bass, somebody singing.
Makes sense. Okay.
So, we said, all right. Jerry came over for a barbecue.
Yep.
And of course, Jerry, do you want to play anything?
Well, Jerry can play everything, so there you go.
So, he says, yeah, man, I'll come over and jam. I'll play bass. Cool. So, we played for what? 3 months? Maybe?
Yeah, about that. It was the end of the summer, right? About the end of the summer, yeah, because I was actually playing with a... I was playing bass with a kid band, a friend of mine's kids. That's what happened, really. So, you know, I was playing bass for a little while. I wasn't doing anything on guitar, really. So, it was like, he called me up, and I had a conflict of time. That's what it was. Because Wednesdays is usually I play with the band I'm in, and I would play with them sometimes on Sundays and Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of, we found a little common ground at about 3 o'clock, where it worked out. So, I came over, you know, they had a few songs. You know, they play the songs, and, you know, I just messed around.
So no vocals at this point? Just
No,
just...
they had a vocalist.
Oh, okay.
Dude,
there
just never showed up.
Oh, there was a vocalist.
Never showed up.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Dude, it was a guy that never showed up. It's like, hey, he's supposed to come today. Oh, his daughter is sick. He can't make it.
Okay.
Next time. Oh, he got a cold. I don't want to come over if, you know, I don't have everything ready to go yet, so I'll wait till my cold goes away. Every week it was something.
So it makes it tricky to kind of move forward.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, the hardest thing to find is a singer. Singer is
absolutely
the hardest thing to find.
That's why I married mine, just to make sure.
I've been going through a band that I'm in. We've been playing for 8 years now, and we can't find a solid singer.
Right,
it's just ridiculous, you know?
So, I remember having that conversation with you a couple times.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
And that's the only reason I sing. You know, I'm not a singer. I know nothing about singing.
Well,
I have
down,
no idea.
Yeah.
But... I used to do it on the demos. You know, me and Mark, you know, we were doing the Dyer's Eve thing, an old band we had. We were doing it ourselves, and we couldn't find a singer. So I would demo the songs. I would write the words and demo it, just so we can have something to show somebody else that's going to take over the vocals.
And that was the only thing I ever heard of him singing.
So that's the only, you know, and right. it was horrible. He's like, I've always hated it. Can't stand it. It's like,
oh, he thought it was horrible, but...
No, it was horrible.
It wasn't a singer at the time. Okay, it was, like he said, it was someone that was trying to find a singer that was just putting the words on there so that they could send it to someone.
It makes sense. And if you want something, you know, the mindset is, you want something done right, you know, do it yourself.
Yeah,
if you want to
finish it,
you got to move forward. Absolutely. I'm the same way. Well, it worked out. And real quick, I forgot to mention, you know, you guys know I love the band name. There's also a track, I believe it's the first track on the EP called Metal Life Crisis. Right. Just a little tidbit for you there. All right, how about your guys' influences musically? And also, do you guys, some people don't like this question, but do you guys ever get compared to other bands? I was listening to the CD, you know, I'm rolling around in my car with it. Kate goes, a little bit of Iron Maiden. You guys get yeah, that one?
Definitely
Iron Maiden. What,
little Dio.
Yeah, definitely. I hear that.
I hear a lot with Jerry's vocals.
Okay.
A lot of people say that. He sounds like Dio.
And it's like, you know, I can't sing Dio. Never would attempt to sing Dio.
But yeah. But he has the flavor of Dio.
Exactly, yeah. I understand that. That's really cool. But who influences you guys, I guess, individually, starting with Sean? Any musical or even non-musical influences?
Guitarists, I would say mostly rhythm guitar players. I mean, I'm not a big lead player. I was always more into hearing the sound of the full music instead of the leads coming in all the time.
It's so important.
So I guess you would say I was always into more of the background players of the bands. So who would you say?
More like the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, more the meat and potatoes. More the backbone of the whole band. No individual guitar players, I never sat there and tried to be like any of them except my teacher, Jerry Franklin.
Hey, good answer. All right, very good. Good answer. Kevin, any favorite drummers or any influences?
Neil Peart.
Sure, absolutely. Bonham,
Keith Moon, Ringo.
All good ones,
know,
yeah.
All that, you know, everybody influences me. I'm my favorite drummer, but
that is a great answer.
Because I mean, it's all who you're influenced by, and it's not a competition.
Absolutely,
you know, it's you just steal from everybody, and that's what makes music.
Yeah, and you learn too. Yeah. Absolutely. Mark, any favorite basses or favorite music or influences?
Black Sabbath, Classic. Iron Maiden. Judas Priest, all that old school stuff. I loved that growing up. And then I got into prog rock later, you know, Rush. I really got into them.
Absolutely. Yes. Nice.
Yeah, any you guys of that kind of stuff.
Naming some awesome bands. And
you can definitely tell what our influence.
Yeah.
That we are into old school. And that's what we frame ourselves off of, mostly.
I was just going to say, even, you know, the sound is like an old school metal. You know, yeah. I mean, obviously the band name and all that, but it definitely comes off on the recordings. I don't know if you guys are going for that, but it's cool. It's got that classic sound, if that makes sense.
Most of my writing comes old school, so I mean, and the way Jerry records, which Jerry did all the recording on the EP.
Oh, wow. Very good,
Jerry. Did an amazing job. I mean, nice.
Yeah, it sounds good, man. I'm rolling around with it right now.
You know, all of us put our heart into it, you know?
Yeah, and it shows. Natural. Awesome.
Everything we do.
Everyone pick up. What's the EP called, by the way?
Volt.
It is Volt. Okay. Good. I just popped it. I should have looked. I just popped it right in the CD player. So check out Volt. Pick it up. I think I picked it up for a couple bucks at the Stone Pony. Got a sticker, too. So good deal. Jerry, musical influences, man? You play lots of stuff.
Well, you know, for me, an influence and inspiration are two different things. I'm inspired by everything.
Right.
Well said.
For me, an influence for me would have to be, I mean, it was Jimmy Page. Then it went to my teacher, Joe DiMaio, who got me into Michael Schenker and Ulrich Roth. Those are my two.
No way. Is that Joe from
Joe DiMaio from Shorefire.
He was your teacher?
My guitar teacher.
That's crazy. Yeah.
He taught everybody in our area. Me and my one of my best friends back then was Mike Aronis. And me and him, you know, we went to him and
I did not know that. I've met Joe a couple times. I've been in the studio.
Great
studio too.
Yeah, great guy,
but I didn't know that, man. Yeah. Little
great guitar player.
Just
great
to give
person.
A little plug. A little
yeah,
plug.
Absolutely.
I forgot to give
plug
a plug.
Away.
Brian Callahan is the man that named the band.
Brian Callahan
is the actual man that named Metal Life Crisis.
You did good. Created a monster here. Do you guys like getting compared to other bands? I know some bands
that's what you do. You know, you gotta put
it's inevitable.
We want to put something in a category. That's what people do.
Good answer. And I like that answer. You know, yeah, exactly. You know, like, hey, come check out my band. Well, what kind of music? Right. What do you guys sound like?
Right. Take it as a compliment, in a way.
Mm-hmm. How long have you guys been playing your respective instruments? We'll start with Jerry because he's played so many things. When did you start playing music, I guess, man?
I started when I was about 14, because I heard, was going through my dad's collection, flipping through, and I seen Led Zeppelin 2. And I was like, what the heck is this? Took it up. I put the wrong side on. I put side 2 on. Heartbreaker. That was it.
That's it. Would you start with guitar?
Guitar.
Nice.
Guitar, that's it. I don't know anything about vocals, nothing. You can ask me, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Me neither, man, but you're up there doing it, so that's good. And then I've seen Jerry play some drums here and there.
Yeah, I always love drums. Well, drums is because, you know, if the band practices at your house, the drums are there. You have to play them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how I learned.
That was our first band.
You know?
Mine and Jerry's first band together.
Oh, really?
I played drums.
In my parents' basement. We played for days.
Yeah, it's come home.
He bought a Mapex drum set. Mapex or a Tamer? Which one was it?
Well, first it was a Tamer. Jerry Colleen's old Tamer.
Right. Yeah. Bought this drum set. Said, let's jam. We were writing all this stuff. We had a band back then. It was called Bigotry. We had a band called Idolatry.
Right. And Stitchwork.
Stitchwork. That's when Jerry.
I was switched back to guitar.
Finally jumped back
because
on guitar.
Because I couldn't, double bass.
We went double bass.
It's
more death metal.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
That's fun.
So we've been playing for. You know, like all these guys, I've known these guys. You know, this guy, he's my inspiration, really, because
Mark over here,
when we first started playing, I was playing with a guy called Gary Roberts. He would always talk about Mark Yard, and it's funny is because some of my friends were his cousins, and they would always talk about, yeah, my cousin Mark, my cousin Carl. You know, and they would always talk about him, and I was playing with Gary, and Gary had borrowed his amp once, and Mark brought it to a friend of ours, Doug Bramwell's house in Avon. And that's when I first met Mark. And that's it. I had to play with him.
The rest is history, yeah.
You know, and a friend of mine's called me up and goes, Jerry, I'm playing with this guy, Mark Yard. You know, would you like to come and play? I was like, what, are you kidding me? That was the best day of my life.
And, that was like 1981, wasn't it?
Something like that, 80s, 81 or something like that. Ooh, yeah. And crazy. that was it. That's we've been together ever since.
Poor Bob wasn't even born yet, were you?
You know?
83 for me, yeah. That's great. Mark, how long have you been playing bass, or do you play other instruments too?
I fiddle around on guitar a little bit, acoustic guitar, but mainly bass.
Nice.
I believe my Aunt Kathy thought she was buying a regular guitar for my brother, and it turned out it was a bass, so she just put it in a closet and went out and bought another, electric guitar. Uh-huh. And I stumbled across it, and I just asked if I could have it, and I just started playing it.
Nice.
Basically, I never took any lessons. I'm just self-taught.
That's what I was just going to ask. Self-taught, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Playing all the Iron Maiden, you name it, Jethro Tull.
That was 1978.
Nice.
So like, crazy. What a feel he had, the feel.
So you guys are all pretty experienced.
Oh, yeah, we've been, it's like, it's like the kids I teach today, it's weird because they don't play in bands. They sit in a room and they practice.
Right.
And we didn't do that. It was like, we couldn't play and we had a band, you know? I think that's what got me to learn rhythms and interacting, you know, because, we couldn't tune, but we're sitting there playing, hashing it out. Next week, we're a little better. Next month, we're a little better. Next summer, we're playing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
playing
kids,
off each other.
Some of the kids today, it's weird. They don't. They just want to sit and stay in the room, and they're not, missing the valuable tool of playing with four or five other guys, or even with two other people.
Plus, at that age, in high school, and absolutely development too. But like in high school, I guess when I was 16, that was like my first band, and that's how I kind of identified as my place in life,
exactly,
I was the kid with the band,
right.
And it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You're like in a band.
Not like walking to school, and you got your pick in your hand. It's cool. And everyone's like, "Hey, that's the dude."
Yeah, that's it, man.
Absolutely.
Right. Kevin, I know I talked to you a little bit before. You said you've been playing since the 70s, right?
Yeah, probably early 70s. My mother saw me banging my head on my crib rhythmically about 15 months old, and she threw in a Quaker Oats box, and that's really where it began. She showed me a rhythm. She plays piano and all that. And
Quaker Oats.
Yeah, Quaker Oats box. Be good tattoo. But the I started lessons around 7-8 years old and went on. I took lessons from Joe Nuvola last year.
Oh, did you really? Too? Okay.
You know, and I forgot all my rudiments, which I'm not really interested in anymore. You know, I was in marching band, so that's where that was fine. But I can sight read and, you know, have my own way of remembering songs that way.
Awesome.
You know, other instruments, I play piano, and I play guitar terribly. You know,
yeah, me too. Yeah, I attempt guitar. Yeah, yeah, man.
But it's a lot of fun. And as far as vocals, I was taught by an opera singer when I was younger, one of my grandfather's singers, said just how to use your diaphragm and different things like that. But other than that.
Awesome, man. And real quick, while I got you, Kevin, we got to do the Cooper Groove plug here. Definitely. So, Cooper Groove drumsticks, you know I love them. I'm a Cooper Groove artist. My man Kevin over here is a Cooper Groove artist as well. Kev, I got to ask you, man, do you like the sticks as much as I do? What do you think of these Cooper Groove sticks?
I played my previous drumstick from a company for a long time, since the 80s, and... I like those, but so it was very hard to stop. And then Sean sent me a link to check these out. And they're made in Chicago or somewhere out there. And he sent me, and a little hard to get used to at first because my grip was tighter. But after I played for a while, I couldn't go to another drumstick.
That's the same thing happened with me. I you know, got the Cooper Grooves. I'm like, oh, these are really interesting, really different. I like the grooves in the handle. Started playing, you know, with others, because I got a bunch of sticks in my bag. You know, I got different colors for the kids. Yeah. Started playing with them. I'm like, huh, I kind of miss the grips, you know. You know, if my hands start to sweat, they start to slide on the other sticks. So I picked up the Cooper Grooves, and I was in love, man. And you said you've been playing with the same sticks since the 80s. So,
yeah.
And now you switch to that, man. So that speaks volumes. You like them. I think a lot of drummers are in love with them, so... Gotta plug Cooper Groove because I like him.
Not for nothing, man. Carlo's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's
so cool.
He's the man. And, you know, if you have an issue, you know, which I never do, but you talk to him, he'll get right back to you. He takes care of everything, handles business, takes care of his drummers, promotes everybody. I think he's got an article in Modern Drummer right now. Yeah. And what's awesome right now, they're giving $1 to a drum. It is drug resistance using music on every pair of sticks sold. So check them out.
It's also on our page.
CooperGroove.com.
Yeah.
Check them out for all those drummers out there. All right, thanks, Kevin, for that, man. And,
absolutely.
And back over to you, Sean. How long you been playing for, man?
Man, guitar. I've been playing since I was 5 years old.
Five?
5 years old. I handed you my first acoustic.
Guitar's a tough instrument at five.
Yeah, I had a Hondo 2 acoustic. I remember it like it was yesterday. And she gave it to me and taught me Elvis Hound Dog.
Nice.
And she's still a big influence on my life with music. I mean, I still go to her apartment on occasions. She's over 60 years old. She's still wailing.
Wow.
I mean, killing it on a Fender Strat, playing Pink Floyd and stuff. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, she's good.
Awesome. Pink Floyd. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, she sounds like David Gilmour when she plays. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, she's a great artist. Yeah, so I've been playing since I was five. I took a little hiatus when my kids were born.
It's a good reason, yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're rocking on the
stages, man.
Yeah,
now I'm playing
my
Life Crisis, man. And
it's going well.
It's absolutely the best band I've ever been in.
I'll tell you, I said this to Jerry. Now, no, I before I have bands on the podcast, I gotta come see you guys play. You know, so I'm familiar with your stage presence. I heard a lot about you guys. You guys were officially Metal Life Crisis 2015.
No,
when?
Oh, when we started?
When you start as Metal Life Crisis?
Yeah, I think it was late 2015.
2015,
right?
As that lineup and that band and everyone in the set instrument positions. And you guys made a name on the scene pretty fast. I mean, my friends Roulette, I saw you guys were playing with them.
Great people. You guys
were playing a lot of shows, and a lot of people were coming out to shows. You guys do a great job on social media. So I saw you guys all over the place. I'm like, oh, that's my friend Jerry's band. Like, I got to come check them out. I went to the Pony to see you guys. The place was packed. And you guys are doing well. And then I hear the next thing you're playing Starland.
Yeah, we're doing well with shows. I mean,
that was our fifth show, I think.
God bless what we're getting, man. I mean, it's killer that we're getting these great shows. I mean, we started off, our first show was with Stagger, with Roulette.
Yep.
Last summer, July 30th, I think it was.
Somewhere around there.
Was that the Brighton?
The Brighton.
Yeah, Brighton.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we played, that was our first show. We had a great time. Said, all right, we're going to start booking more shows. And kept going. next show, we called Kyle from the Stone Pony
Showcase,
and we're gonna play a showcase.
Yep, I know.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, we're gonna. Well, we didn't know that we weren't actually in the showcase.
Okay.
He turned it into the Metal Life Crisis show, where we actually headlined the Pony for our first time playing the Pony.
Oh, there you go. All right.
That was pretty cool.
There's a history because so you know Kyle knows us all,
right?
Because he didn't know at first. Right. Then when he found out who it was, you know.
We played for him at the Pony. We played for him at the Rock Horse. We played for him at the at Club Binet.
Galaxy.
Yeah, I mean, we played for him in all sorts of places back in the 80s and 90s.
So you guys go way back.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about the Volt EP. Obviously, I'm cruising around listening to it in my car. We're going to play a track from that in just a few minutes. But tell me about the recording process. When did you guys say, all right, you know, we need to make an EP? Did you guys do all the recording yourself? I guess you said Jerry did.
Jerry did all that.
Yeah, well, did it. The first thing we had to have is you got to have product. First thing, you know, you can't go anywhere without product.
Makes sense. Somebody says,
what do you sound like? Oh man, next week, maybe we'll record next month. Meet it before you go to a show.
Absolutely.
So that was our main goal.
We start recording, like, March?
It was March 29th, about. It was right before Memorial Day.
Exactly. So it was March 29th. You know,
I used to record at my house, but my girlfriend lives with me now, so it's like, you know, I can't turn the kitchen into a studio anymore.
Yeah, hey, so
Kevin's house, so we did it there. We threw the drums there, got them taken care of, then, you know, we did everything else at my house. You know, and just, because we don't have, no stress. The good thing about it is that, you know, okay, guys, we got all day. You know what I mean? Oh, you want to stop for a minute? We'll stop for a minute.
Yeah.
Tweak this, we'll tweak that. It was all comfortable. Like, you know, when you go in a studio, you know, clock's running.
Clock's running, money's, yep.
Yeah, you know, and you're under the gun, and it's stressful.
And then you got the producer's input, which isn't necessarily your input. You know, you're more experienced with the songs. They try to take it in different directions. You never know.
So we want it to be, you know, just let's go in there. Let's just, you know, take our time. We got the whole day. Let's do it. Just get the drums. You know, the most important thing I find is if you get a good drum sound, the rest of the recording is going to be all right.
I like that thing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the drums make everything. The drums have to, you know, you have to have the crack of that snare, and that bass drum has to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what I like, you know, because I love Led Zeppelin. And what's the best thing about Led Zeppelin? John Bonham and the bass player. You know what I mean? Those two guys together make Led Zeppelin.
I got some tracks for you to listen to, Jerry. I'm going to need your help, man. but yeah, well, really, really well said, man. Really well said. And yeah, I guess you guys do the normal thing, lay down drums first, and then everything else.
What we did actually is that we played live.
Oh, you did?
Right, we played it live, but we used just the drum track.
I understand, right.
You know what I'm saying?
I completely get it, yep.
So, and we went back.
And laid down everything.
And we got the guitars the way we want the guitars. We got the bass the way we wanted the bass. You know what I mean? And then the vocals last.
CD sounds great, though. Awesome, guys. Well, why don't we take a little listen to Monsters Feed from the Volt EP, Metal Life Crisis. Here it is. Check it out.
Yeah.
All right, that was Monsters Feed from the Vol EP, Metal Life Crisis. So let's talk about that track a little bit. It's like I was telling you guys, I was talking to Kate earlier, and I'm just, man, I am really, really bad at deciphering messages and lyrics from songs. You know, I'm better at the drums and the instrumental. Let's see, from that track I listened to a little bit, I heard like things like terrorism and some political things in there. What's the song about? Is there a message? What's the lyrical content
it's,
about?
It's no message per se, but mm-hmm. it's about everything that's going on, reality of today.
In the
you
world.
Know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like monsters, people feed. People are always feeding on you. Like man can never be harmonious. Somebody has to be on top of somebody else. Somebody has to feed on somebody else. And that's what it's about. No matter if it's political, no matter if it's a family member that is trying to, you know, is jealous of something that you have, that you work for, or whatever, or just whatever. That's what it's about. You know, monsters
like
feed, you know? And it's trying to say, you know, we cannot grow if we constantly bleed. You know, that's
yeah.
one of the lyrics, you know what I mean? So we're always bleeding. You know, and we're never going to grow if we don't stop bleeding.
That's good. I like that. It's kind of like, it makes you think a little bit. And it's weird that you say that today, because I was kind of thinking, well, just with all the stuff going on in the world, you know, I never get political or anything like that. But just thinking about the world, I'm just like, why can't everyone just like, you know, like you said, kind of, I mean, obviously, we can't all live in harmony. You know,
right,
just, it's
right.
the real world. But, you know, like, everyone kind of just chill and you know, why do we have to have, like, wars and, like, attack each other? You know, we have it pretty darn good,
right.
you know, like, mm-hmm. you know. It's just man.
Yeah. You know, it's got to be a hierarchy. I guess if it wasn't, I guess it would be even more chaos.
Maybe.
So who knows? You know
Maybe.
What I mean? So
interesting.
You know, but, you know, who knows? But it just seems like, you know, nothing can ever stay the same. We can't expect anything to stay the same. But, you know, it's like, man, you know, if me and him can just hang out, why is the third guy always got to be a pain in the ass?
Right.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just always that one, you know? It's like even when you're a band, you know, it's always that one person that
who
is
it? No,
you know what I mean? It's always killing. You know what I mean? It's always
yeah.
one. You know,
no,
you always
yeah,
get that
Kevin.
One person, you know, that gives the or just does something that's just like, why did you do that?
Yeah, why?
You know?
Everything was going great. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Why create a problem? Why throw a wrench in this machine?
Yeah, you know, it's just like.
I like that, though. I think that's actually a really, really good concept. And I tell you, I'm terrible at deciphering this stuff. So that's what's also cool about sitting down talking with you guys. I get kind of to pick your brains a little bit. And I like that a lot. Tell me about the writing process. Do we start with a guitar riff? Do we start with the lyrics?
Definitely start with guitar riffs.
Yeah, just jamming.
Yeah, I just sat down, usually right down in my living room on the couch, just jamming in a set of headphones and came up with a couple parts, not the whole song, but a couple parts, and then we all went upstairs, practiced one day, and
the magic happened.
Yeah, it came together.
The song just came together. I mean,
all the songs come together.
The fluidity of this band is just insane.
It comes together pretty quick.
It's,
you guys
it's
got
insane.
All the right pieces.
Having these two, to be honest with you, having these two in the band, Jerry and Mark.
And Mark, okay.
Is a big influence on me and Kevin.
Okay.
I mean, right off, he was my teacher. Second off, I admired these two to death when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I used to roadie for them.
Wow.
Best friends with, you know, I was always best friends with all of them. But I mean, just always going to see Dire's Eve. I was a Dire's Eve head. You know, everything was Dire's Eve. I loved everything about their music. You know, and when Jerry came to me and said, the funny part was, here's funny.
Uh-oh.
We're sitting down in practice one day. Jerry walks in with his bass and he goes, I'm not playing bass anymore.
No.
He said,
never going to find.
We're never going to find a singer, so let's find a bass. Let's find a bass player. And I said, who do you want to get? And we were going to try out another bass player, but it didn't work out. So he goes, why don't I get Mark? And I said, Mark Yard? He goes, yeah. I said, you think I'll do it? He goes, absolutely. Well, Mark walks in, and I never seen anybody learn 5 songs by the end of practice. I mean, like, learn the whole song.
Wow.
By the next practice, he had every song that we had in our catalog. We had 10 songs. Almost up to 10 songs by the time he came in. Well, I think we were like 8. And then we wrote a couple songs with him. So, I mean, it was just insane how fast he came into the band and just locked with us. And it just made the whole band whole. I mean, then Jerry comes in a week later with lyrics for almost every song.
Wow.
And singing them.
Shows your guys' dedication and the time you put into the band. Absolutely.
And it's funny because we don't practice a lot. We practice alone, you know, as individuals. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure your band does, every band does. But we practice once, twice a week tops, you know, and it's usually a couple hours. But Mark was saying before, the gelling of this band is, it's a family. We don't think of it as a business. We don't think of it as being in a band and walking out and not knowing each other. You know, a lot of bands, you know, guy comes from here, guy comes from there, they come together, they play. See ya.
Yeah.
See you next practice. We talk on a regular basis. You know, I talk to Mark almost every day. I talk to Kevin almost every day. Jerry, you know.
Yeah.
He don't want to
Jerry not so
he don't want to talk to nobody.
Jerry's a busy.
That's why I tell him, you know, they always get a Facebook, man. It's like, no. You guys will all be mad at me because I would never talk back. You know? Yeah. You know, that's what I always said, right? This is like how many years? I had to break down again.
You got one though.
But, you know, yeah, I had to break down again. One, but you know, I'm not a talker. I'm a talker, but I'm not a talker.
No, I get you. I completely understand. Well, that's good, man. You guys, you know, it sounds like you got all the right pieces in the band and everything's coming together quickly, and you guys are doing well. Let's check out another track. We got Ego Drain.
Ego Drain.
Do you want to throw on some Ego Drain? And that's also on Volt?
Yes.
All right. Let's check it out, and I'll see if I can figure out this one. Let's do it. Right, that was Eco Drain by Metal Life Crisis. Really awesome track off the Volt EP. So Kevin actually did the writing of the song But Jerry, tell us a little bit about the song. I heard a couple lines in there. Resist You, something about handouts. You know, don't come here for handouts.
Handouts, milk the system, too busy thieving to see the crime. You know, it's basically, you know, my analogy is this about the song. It's like, I work at a nursing home too, my second job, and there's this girl, you know, she works. We have a system in the U.S., right? A welfare system. The welfare system is supposed to help you, right? That's good. You're not supposed to stay on it. It's supposed to help you to get on your feet, and then the next person who has a problem, it helps them.
Right.
But now you have people who want to, you know, they'll get Section 8. You have to work a certain amount of hours to, in order to get this, you know, rent-controlled apartment or whatever you have.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll come to work, and they'll work part-time, not because they cannot work full-time. Is that so they can stay on the system? And that's your economic drain. You know, the system was made to help you so you can get off the system and maybe help somebody else.
Right.
And people are taking advantage by staying on it. And that's what the song's about.
There you go. It's kind of pull a little real life experience, right, with a little bit of, you know, what's going on in the world as well. Very, very cool. All right, guys. So really good. Everyone, check out that Volt EP. Really good. Like I said, I'm rolling around with it in the car right now. Awesome.
You can get it on Reverb Nation.
There you go. Yeah.
You can get it on SoundCloud. You can get it on our Facebook page. We got links to it all over our Facebook page. Metal Life Crisis NJ on Facebook.
There you go. Or if you go to a show, do what I did. You know, go up there, buy the EP, and get some stickers too.
There you go.
I'm all about those stickers. Where do you guys like to play the best? You know, I saw you guys at the Pony. You guys just did Starland. That's kind of a big deal.
Haven't played there yet.
Haven't played where?
Haven't played the place I want to play the best yet.
Okay. Just haven't.
Nope.
That's a good answer.
So far, it's Starland.
Starland. You guys had a good show. Starland went well.
That was unreal.
It
was unreal. I mean, the feeling that I think because Starland was our favorite club is because it was our best show. It was the show that we locked in with each other the best, and we all just, when we walked off the stage, we knew we hit it. We knew we hit it right. We had a long talk before the show. You know, go up on stage, play, just play. Don't worry about talking to the crowd. Don't worry about doing nothing but playing, just to get as many songs out there, because when you're the opening act, you know, you don't get a long time.
Yeah.
You're warming up by the time you're done with your set.
Mm-hmm.
So many people took video that we went back and we really analyzed what we were doing on stage, what we weren't doing,
what
we should do, what we shouldn't do, and we basically pulled it together.
Yeah, we saw that we weren't moving around on stage. This show, I mean, you go on our YouTube and you go watch the Pony show versus Starland show, it looks like a totally different band on stage.
Gotcha. Sometimes that has to do with the crowd as well.
Oh, like absolutely. The energy of the crowd was amazing.
Exactly. I was just
going to
say, sometimes you can play off that, you know. You know,
we're playing with, you know. Because exactly. The show we're playing, you know, we're playing with a legend, you know what I mean? And you want to be
exactly.
Top.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, Jerry would turn around and say, you guys ready? You guys ready? And we kept, I remember seeing that a few times. And mm-hmm. It was like, all right, we have to get rid of that. We have to be ready.
Right. Mm-hmm. Ready to go, especially when you guys got a short set. You gotta get it wrong, but it went well.
We played with King's X. When we played with King's X, that was our first really big show, you know. And we did that, like Mark said.
That was our third show.
You ready? Yeah, and it was our third show ever. I mean, so we're already playing with a national act at our third show. I mean, it was a little quick, but it was great.
Worked out. Yeah.
I mean, it was a great show. But by the time we went on with Udo,
We figured it out.
We locked it. We were good.
Nice.
We were happy.
That's a good place. You guys like playing Starland. That's awesome.
Starland and the Pony, man. I like the Pony a lot, too.
I do, too.
I enjoy the Pony.
Classic venue. What do you guys think of the music scene? The local, you know, Jersey scene. There's a lot of bands out there. There's a lot of places to play.
A lot of good bands out there right now.
Yeah,
a lot of
absolutely.
Really good bands. Your band's one of them. Vection.
Yeah. Never heard of
them. Negative Sky. Really good band. Lower the Veil's a really good one that I like right now.
Yeah, those are friends of ours.
Yeah, good band.
Lower the Veil.
Who else? Stagger. Roulette, of course.
Yeah, we love Roulette.
Inversion Circus.
Inversion Circus is killer. I enjoy Invert. I mean, Chris and Chris Squared, those guys are amazing together.
Nice. awesome. And you guys, you know, we were talking about this when I came to the Pony, and then you guys obviously had a good crowd at Starland, too. You guys got a lot of support on the scene. You got people that you said have been coming out for a while now, right?
Huge support. I mean, Jerry says it every time we're on stage. He's dumbfounded.
Yeah, it's weird.
And
these
and
same
we,
people, you know.
We are dumbfounded, man. I mean,
when we were younger, we nobody would come out. And all these are the same people. It's just that, you know, everybody's...
We haven't...
hungry to do something, I guess. And
that's good. And we need
good,
more of that. We
God bless them. I mean, we haven't sold under 100 tickets since we've been playing out.
Wow. That's impressive. That's impressive.
Yeah, and the good thing is that we, you know, we reward them, so...
Yeah.
You know, we don't take them for granted, so...
We give them shirts.
We try to give them
I mean,
this.
We made a Resistance shirt. Join the Resistance.
Which is our fan base.
Which is our fan base, the Resistance.
The Resistance, okay.
All right, Metal Life family. Love you guys.
Awesome.
Shout out to the fans. Can't do it without the fans.
We gave them these white shirts with MLC across the front chest, Join the Resistance across the back with a skull. And it just felt good. It felt good to give back to them, you know, because they give to us. If they're not there, we're not there.
Absolutely. Very cool. How about some, for these fans, how about some new music? We got any new music on the way? We got another EP? We got a full length? Or we got some singles? Well, what's going on in the writing process? What's going on out there?
Right before you just walked in, we were just talking. And we're talking about going into the studio to do a full length.
Doing the full length, huh?
Yeah, do a full length.
Awesome.
Between 8 and 12 songs, depending on how well it goes at the studio.
Absolutely. Well, awesome.
Should be good. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Little exclusive announcement here on
yeah, you
on
got
the
it
BCP.
First, right there.
Yeah, that's right. You heard it first from Metal Life Crest. That's exciting, guys. Keep us posted on that. As soon as you guys put out new music, you know I'll be sharing it all over the interwebs. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Cool. And something I like to ask all the artists and bands I have on here. I don't know if you guys want to answer individually or just chime in. You know, Jerry, obviously a music teacher like myself. What do you say to people who, you know, maybe they're learning to play, learning to sing, maybe they write poetry, you know, maybe they want to be in a band, but they want to get on stage and you know, they want to perform, they want to, you know, share their craft. Well, you know, what's your advice to aspiring artists or musicians? What would you guys tell them?
I would say just go out and just
exactly. Do it.
Because if you fail, you will learn.
The best part about
you are going to fail, yeah. So just embrace it and just go for it.
Never give up.
Yeah, just do it. Just do it. You know.
Look at us, man.
I mean, the best thing about what I love.
We're in our 40s and 50s years old, and we're still playing, man.
Right. Awesome.
And what I love about it is that you're always nervous, and the moments that you're not nervous, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it is. That's that nervous energy before you go on, and then once you hit that first note, it takes over.
Absolutely.
My son Hunter asked me that actually. My son Hunter, he goes on stage with us every show.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's awesome. He plays. He's a great guitar player, a great singer. And actually, originally he was gonna sing for Metal Life Crisis.
No way.
Little known fact. We were gonna have him, but he just didn't want to do the metal. He wanted to do the old guy metal. He's more of an acoustic player.
I got
so. But he asked me one time. He goes, "Dad, how nervous are you?" I said, "I'm nervous." You would not believe every time I walk on that stage, I am a nervous wreck. I said, but if I'm not, I'm not going to put on a good show. I said, because as soon as the nerves blow out, you're just ready to, you're ready to kill it.
You're having fun. Yeah.
Especially when you look around and you see the enjoyment that you're putting in people's faces. It's priceless.
And you know there's people out there that are looking at you like, man, I wish I was playing guitar in front of all these people. You know, I wish I could be a lead singer, you know?
My brother-in-law, God bless him, he's in Okinawa right now. He's serving with the Marines.
Oh, wow.
And his name's David. He, he worships me playing guitar.
Okay.
And I don't understand how, man, because he's in the military.
Absolutely.
He's somebody amazing to me.
Got like a mutual
respect,
man. In different
ways. Hell
yeah.
He's amazing. I don't even know how he even thinks like that about me, but he's just my rocking brother-in-law.
I gotcha.
And he's the shit.
Is he going to get to come to any shows or?
I hope so, sooner or later.
I hope so, you know? Too, man. Awesome.
But
there you go.
Him, my father-in-law. My father-in-law is over 80 years old, man. He comes to every show.
Whoa.
He's our biggest fan.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? He's into the music. He likes the style.
He's not into metal.
Right.
He just loves Metal Life Crisis.
Hey.
He loves everything about it.
That's all. You guys got a good thing going here. Awesome. Really cool. Well, good stuff, guys. Thanks for coming. I do appreciate you guys coming on and taking the time to talk with me, you know. Give something to fans to listen to, you know. Kind of pick your brains a little bit. But we always got to end with this. You know, I'm all about those shameless plugs. What do you guys, you know, want to tell the fans? I know you guys got a couple endorsements. What are you going to tell the people listening out there?
Keep playing. Keep doing whatever you can to keep it enjoyable.
Absolutely.
All right. We got a couple endorsements out there that we love working with.
Okay.
Kevin works with Cooper Groove, as you know.
I'm familiar with them. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
All right. Yeah. me and Mark at the moment are working with Von York Strings. They're right out of New Jersey. Great strings. Check them out. They're a small company. And they love being part of all the local bands. Wedgie Picks. They're out of California. Smitty from Zenergy Entertainment.
Hey, we know Smitty.
Smitty!
Sure, Smitty.
Hooked us up with Wedgie. And they've been great to us, too. Absolutely. I just want to thank them all for being part of Metal Life Crisis.
Absolutely. Very cool, guys. All right, and what's the website everyone can check you guys out at? Or I know you got a Reverb Nation, you got the Facebook thing going on.
Yeah, we got Reverb Nation, we got SoundCloud, we have YouTube, we have Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. It's Metal Life Crisis NJ on most of them. You'll find us. There is another Metal Life Crisis out there that is in the UK. Don't be mistaken. They wear wigs. they play covers. Yeah. They're not together anymore, but you might see a name out there that says
YouTube.
On YouTube you might see it. Just look for the band that's playing originals. They play all cover songs.
Well, thanks for your time. Jerry, Mark, Kevin, Sean, thanks for a few minutes and we are here, of course, with the one and only, the real Metal Life Crisis here on the Bob Culture Podcast. Guys, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Peace. We'll see you on the stage.
Thanks.
Thank you.